Part 2. The minute Ray escorted Dr. Iero out of the castle, Gerard locked himself in the bathroom and looked at himself in the mirror. He was flushed, and his skin felt tight and prickly. He splashed cold water on his face, blotting it dry with the sleeve of his shirt.
Gerard?
Mikey knocked on the door, sounding worried.
You okay?
Gerard wasn't sure how to answer that, exactly. Dr. Iero, he'd never felt such an instant, overwhelming physical attraction to someone he'd just met. It was unnerving, to say the least. Yeah, I'm fine. There was a pregnant pause.
Then why are you hiding in the bathroom?
I'm not hiding, he said indignantly. I'm doing things.
Like hiding?
No. And to prove it, he opened the door to glare at Mikey. Something must have shown on his face, because Mikey took one look at him and sighed.
Oh, Gerard.
What? Mikey just shook his head and pulled Gerard in for a hug. He wanted to push Mikey away, wanted to pretend to be unaffected, but Mikey's arms always felt so good around him, home and security and safety. He snuggled in closer.
Dr. Iero is very good-looking,
Mikey remarked, like somehow Gerard might have missed that. Oh, do you think so? Gerard tried for casual, but ruined it by laughing. Oh my god, Mikey, he's hot. Mikey rubbed soothing circles on his back, and Gerard tried to purr, but only managed a sort of grumbling sound. Do you think we could engineer people so they could purr? Mikey paused for a second, before going back to what he was doing.
I'm not sure why people would need to purr, but I guess it wouldn't be impossible.
Sometimes, like when your brother is petting you, you just feel good and you want to purr. It'd be an excellent way to express nonverbal contentment and happiness.
Or you could just verbally express those sentiments, being the sort of creature which can express things verbally.
Sometimes I just don't have the words. Gerard sighed. Something to think about for later, though. He gave Mikey a hard squeeze before backing away. He sat back down at the table and paged through Dr. Iero's resume. What do you think, Mikey? Gerard trusted Mikey's opinions about people a lot more than he trusted his own.
I think that he'd be a good fit here. He's obviously smart, well-organized, determined, creative. He would give you something to push against, and wouldn't hesitate to shove back if that's what you needed.
But? Gerard was almost sure there was a but. He could read it in Mikey's voice, in his body language.
But he's hiding something. There's more to his erratic employment history than simply not fitting in. And even with the background check, I couldn't find out what it was. His previous employers all spoke highly of him, but it felt like there was something they weren't saying.
Mikey looked puzzled. Do you think he might be working for Pete? After Saporta, it seemed like a reasonable question. Who knew how far clandestine industry's influence extended?
I'm not sure. I've dug pretty deeply into Dr. Iero's background. If he's working for Pete, there's no indication of it.
Mikey shrugged.
I don't think it's Pete. I don't know what it is, but I'm pretty sure that Pete Wentz has nothing to do with the mystery of Dr. Frank Iero.
Gerard sighed. We're running out of options, though. We could run the ads again in MSM and EOG. Well, maybe not EOG. I think we got a slightly higher quality of candidates from MSM than EOG. Either way, though, we could keep looking. He met Mikey's eyes. Or we could go with Dr. Iero, who seems to be an excellent choice, in spite of his mysterious aura. It seems like he would fit in perfectly here. Mikey pinched at his nose, looking like he was fighting off a headache that was building behind his eyes.
That's what I'm afraid of. He seems to fit in too perfectly. It almost feels like a trap.
Shrugging, Gerard folded Dr. Iero's curriculum vitae into a paper airplane and sent it sailing across the room. At least we'll be walking into it with our eyes wide open.
I'm not entirely convinced that's a good thing,
Mikey muttered. Let's give him a try, Mikey. I'm tired of these damn interviews. I just want to get back to the lab, and I have a feeling that he's going to work out for WBBE.
I'll get started on the paperwork.
See if he could start on Monday. I've got some ideas that I want to bounce off of him.
No, Mikey interrupted. He's going to help you work on the mittens. Then you can start working on other stuff. Mittens first. Promise me, G.
Fuck. But they're mostly under control with the force field that Ray set up. Gerard knew, by the set of Mikey's jaw, that it wasn't enough. Fine. Mittens first, then other stuff.
Pinky promised G.
Gerard rolled his eyes before sticking out his pinky. Mikey hooked his pinky around Gerard's, and they shook on it. You are so ridiculous, Mikes. Mikey just laughed.
Whatever.
Way brothers accused of unethical creation of doomsday biologicals! Wentz claims destruction of humanity imminent!
Gerard choked on his coffee when he saw the headline of the Belleville Register. Fuck, Mikey! Mikey and looked up from his report.
Oh, yeah, that.
He got up and poured himself some more coffee and rummaged in the cabinets, finding a box of Pop-Tarts.
Want one?
He asked, gesturing with the box. He shook his head. Yeah, that? Gerard echoed incredulously. He couldn't believe how calm Mikey was about the whole thing, toasting his Pop-Tarts like he didn't have a care in the world. This is the kind of stuff that led to angry mobs burning down the homes of Frankensteins.
They're talking about the mittens, G. I leaked some pictures of them being cute, issued a press release, and have two interviews scheduled for this afternoon.
Oh, he mumbled. Still. Mikey's voice hardened, and he set his coffee mug down with more force than necessary.
Pete's gonna have to try harder.
And G couldn't stop the flood of guilt he felt at that. I'm sorry.
Don't be,
Mikey said.
It's not about you. It's never been about you, G. Pete just holds grudges long past the point of sanity.
Gerard nodded in agreement, but deep in his heart, he still felt the guilt. Dr. Iero, call me Frank, could indeed start on Monday. He showed up Sunday morning with a carload of his personal belongings, and Gerard watched from his window as Ray helped him carry his stuff up to a suite of rooms down the hall from Gerard's. Gerard had reminded Ray to give Frank a set of keys, the answer to the riddle for the Sphinx guarding the front gate, and the location of all the trap doors. It would really suck for the newest member of the household to be eaten by the Sphinx on his first day of residence at Castle Way. Gerard was feeling restless, too distracted to work on any of his current projects. He thought about starting up something new, but he couldn't until the mittens problem was resolved. He'd promised Mikey, damn it. Maybe he could loophole it by claiming a promise given under duress didn't count as a real promise. No, Mikey would probably be pissed at him for that. He threw himself onto his bed, grabbing a sketch pad and opening it to a new page. He let his mind wander as he sketched out Mikey and Ray, turning them into the most awesome vampire hunters ever, arming them with swords and stakes while vampires hissed from the shadows. He added Frank, wearing leather armor and holding a wicked stiletto. As he sketched out Frank's shape, Gerard realized that there was something a little off about the proportions of his body. His upper body was too stout, like his chest was overdeveloped. If he were taller, Gerard would suspect that he had wings, because you needed to have really big chest and shoulder muscles to flap wings with any power. But it didn't make sense for Frank to have wings and then weigh too much to get any lift. Unless Frank's bones were hollow and his muscles were less dense than regular muscles, or if he had an anti-gravity belt. The memory of Frank's tattoos distracted him, though, and he turned to a clean page, drawing Frank's hands from memory, adding the H-A-L-L-O and the W-E-E-N, the other letters lower on his fingers that spelled out. Gerard closed his eyes, picturing it. Yeah. Bookworm, inked on alternating fingers. There was the spider's web in the space between Frank's thumb and pointer finger, with hopeless written above it, which didn't make any sense until you combined it with the half-heart and romantic on his other hand. Hopeless romantic, huh? He kept drawing, adding the pierced heart with the drop of blood that sprawled over the back of Frank's hand, the skull and crossbones, and the barbed wire encircling his wrist. There were more tats on the underside of Frank's wrist, and something written in red letters, but Gerard hadn't gotten a good look at those. Maybe later he'd get Frank to show Gerard all of his tattoos. There'd been a bit of ink peeking out from under the collar of Frank's shirt, and Gerard could only guess that there were more tattoos hidden under the high neckline and long sleeves of Frank's clothes. Gerard closed his eyes again, and tried to imagine what Frank looked like under his stuffy shirt, dark lines and swirls of color against his skin. Gerard shifted on the bed and gasped a little in surprise at the pressure on his dick, which was erect and throbbing. Fuck! He hissed. He felt betrayed by his own body. He rolled onto his side and buried his face into his pillow, refusing to touch. He was a grown, rational person, able to ignore the sexual demands of his body, for fuck's sake. Just because he had a boner didn't mean he had to do something about it. It would go away if he just ignored it and thought about other things. He concentrated on reciting the elements on the periodic table in order of atomic weight. He got as far as carbon, atomic weight of 12.0107, which made him think of black ink on tanned skin, imagining Frank's hands on him, touching him in ways...
Fuck,
he stuttered, feeling sweat bloom on his skin. He bit his lip and tried calculating pi, getting as far as 3.14159265535, before giving up in frustration. His brain just kept flashing pictures of Frank's hands, the way he'd folded them carefully and rested them on his knee as he talked. Gerard pressed the palm of his hand against his cock, catching his breath at how hard he was, and how fucking good it felt. He tried to remember the last time he'd touched himself, the last time he'd jerked off, and realized it had been a while. Lately, it just seemed like too much effort, and the whole process usually left him feeling alone and pathetic afterward. Right now, though, he just felt a desperate need to come, the blood pounding through his veins, hot and demanding.
Christ,
he panted, wrestling with the button and zipper on his jeans. He rolled over onto his back and pushed them down, wiggling to get them off. He dragged his fingers up his thighs, brushing against the sparse hair there and shivering. Suddenly, every nerve was sensitive and tingling, and he couldn't help but shove his hand into his shorts, mouth falling open on a groan as he wrapped his fingers around his dick. He wasn't going to last. He could feel it in his bones. He tried not to think about Frank as he started stroking his cock, because perving on your new employee struck him as really bad karma and rude as well, but he couldn't help himself. He wasn't sure how he was going to look Frank in the eye again, but right at this moment, as his body thrummed and sang, he didn't care.
Oh, fuck.
It felt so good, and he gritted his teeth, pushing hard into his hand as the pleasure crested, rolling through him. It pulled his back into a taut arch and wrung a soft moan out of him.
Fuck,
he hissed as he relaxed back onto the bed, shivering in reaction.
Fuck.
Making a face at the mess he'd made, he wiped his hand off on his shirt before dragging it over his head and dropping it onto the floor. The smell of sex was strong in the room. He knew he should get up and open the window, let the scent dissipate, but he felt too lazy and content to move. He drowsed, soaking up the afternoon sunlight like a cat. Breakfast and lunch at Castle Way were informal affairs. For the most part, it was coffee and Pop-Tarts for breakfast, and sandwiches for lunch. At other times, it was leftover pizza and Chinese takeout. But dinner was always something they sat down to, Mikey, Gerard, and Ray, 7 p.m. every night on the dot. It was a time to touch base and reconnect, to talk about what they'd been doing during the day, and what they were planning on doing for the night. And now there was Frank. Frank was a vegetarian and lactose intolerant, and Ray hadn't had time to go shopping, so dinner was a little more freeform than usual. Omelets and whatever add-ins they found in the fridge and pantry. Mushrooms, cheese, tomatoes, bell peppers, ham. Gerard felt himself blanch at the sight of the mushrooms, not really comfortable with fungus after Dr. McCracken, and both Mikey and Ray avoided touching them as well. But Frank had no problem slicing them up and adding them happily to his veggie omelet. Mikey diced up some potatoes and cooked them with garlic and onions, while Ray and Gerard set the table and set out drinks and condiments. It should have surprised Gerard how easily Frank fit in, but it didn't. He raised an eyebrow at Mikey, who just shrugged.
If you guys are going to talk, you need to do it out loud and in English, so Frank and I can participate in the conversation.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mikey said.
Ray snorted and looked at Frank.
These two, they have this secret eyebrow language.
Ray waggled his own eyebrows.
They'll have these long, involved conversations without saying a word.
That's kinda...
weird? Creepy? Gerard supplied.
No, I was going to say, cool. That's really cool.
Frank grinned.
Knowing someone so well, you don't even need words.
You think so now, Ray said, but eventually you'll definitely think it's creepy.
You only say that because you don't speak eyebrow fluently.
Mikey raised both of his eyebrows as an example.
Fuck you.
Gerard giggled and found that Frank was laughing with him. It made him feel warm inside, like they were in together on a secret. And then he realized that he was developing the hugest crush on Frank, and maybe that was not a good thing at all.
Fuck.
What do you have planned for this evening, G?
Ray asked, squirting ketchup onto his omelet, making it look like it was bleeding. Gerard started to talk about the new project he wanted to work on, but closed his mouth with a snap.
Fuck, he'd almost forgotten.
He could feel Mikey's eyes on him.
Mittens,
I'm not allowed to work on anything else until the mittens are under control.
Mittens?
Frank held up his tattooed hands and wiggled his fingers.
Like, for your hands? Are you inventing some kind of new biological outerwear to keep your fingers warm?
No. Though the idea did have merit. Gerard's hands always got really cold in the New Jersey winters. Mittens, as in miniature kittens.
Miniature kittens?
Frank looked confused.
Like, aren't kittens already small? Why would you want them to be smaller?
Gerard huffed and blew his bangs out of his eyes. Because they're cuter when they're miniaturized. Ray was trying not to laugh. Mikey wasn't even trying.
Fine, motherfuckers!
Gerard stomped over to the doorway of the kitchen and pushed the button on the repurposed garage door opener that was duct taped to the wall. The subsonic hum that came from Ray's anti-mittens force field died away, only to be replaced by the sound of scuttling and a chorus of mews.
Gerard! Damn it, I just got the last ones out of the kitchen!
Fuck! Mikey squawked as a horde of mittens washed over his feet and started climbing him.
Ow! Gerard, you asshole!
Frank just watched the chaos unfold with a bemused look on his face. So we need a twofold plan. One, a way to capture all the mittens. Two, a way to keep them from continuing to asexually reproduce. Gerard chewed on his bottom lip thoughtfully. Frank frowned.
Do they really have to be captured first? Or can we come up with a plan that will make them stop reproducing without having to fix each and every mitten?
Gerard sighed happily. That's brilliant, and will save us time if we can figure out how to do it. He looked at Frank. Maybe something like those bug bombs, but instead of pesticides, it could be something that will stop the mittens from reproducing?
Well, that's an idea, but I think it would help if I saw exactly how they're asexually budding.
He gave Gerard a look from behind his glasses.
Exactly why did you think that was a good idea?
It would have been fine if they hadn't got loose, he mumbled. He had the computer display the blueprints for the mittens on the electronic whiteboard that took up most of one wall in the lab. There.
Hmm.
Frank walked up to the wall, following the schematics.
Oh, that's a sweet solution to the replication issue. No chance of mutation there.
Gerard beamed. Thanks.
Frank pointed to a section. Here, though.
Looking closely, Gerard saw the problem.
Oh, I fucking know, that's pretty clunky.
He shook his head. I was trying to keep things simple, but sometimes it might be better to stick to the tried-and-true methods, yeah?
Yeah. In this case, the complexity is what keeps everything working properly. So, if we just design a gas that will tweak this little bit here like this...
Frank used his stylus to redraw part of the structure, making it impossible for the mittens to continue budding, asexually or not.
That would solve the problem nicely.
Staring at the board, Gerard mentally walked through the process. Ah, but then further on here... He pointed. It causes other issues. See? The protein synthesis stops working correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Frank drooped a little. That's a great start, though. Let's see what we can do to reverse the effects of the faulty protein production. It took them a while to brainstorm their way to a solution that didn't involve any unwanted side effects. Okay, so that's great. Now for the really hard part, designing a gas that will cause the changes we want and not changes we don't want.
Frank yawned, and Gerard looked at the clock.
Oh, it's really late. Go to bed, Frank.
No, G.
He stopped, looking embarrassed. You can call me G, Gerard told him softly. G or Gerard, either works. He liked the way Frank said his name, familiar and intimate.
Okay, G.
Frank smiled at him. Go to bed. It's late. We can keep working on this tomorrow.
By which point another 3,345 mittens will have spawned.
Gerard shrugged. What's another 3,345 more mittens compared to the millions we already have? Laughing softly, Frank conceded the point.
True. Okay, then. I'm going to bed. Good night, G.
Good night, Frank, Gerard said softly, watching Frank leave the lab. When the door shut behind him, G scrubbed at his face tiredly. I'm so fucked. Gerard and Frank spent the next week developing and testing different kinds of hormone-like chemicals that would neuter the mittens and keep them from reproducing further. Frank had wanted to create a gas so that it would permeate the walls of the castle and get into all the nooks and crannies that the mittens had gotten into. Gerard pointed out that delivery of a gas was less reliable in a drafty old castle without synthesizing a huge amount, which was inefficient. Instead, they decided on a liquid which could be added to the food they were feeding the mittens. They would be able to dose all of the mittens that way, and wouldn't have to worry about having to create an excessive amount of the chemical. They synthesized a small portion of the liquid and tested it on a handful of mittens, watching carefully for unexpected developments. They kept an eye on the mittens, examined them repeatedly to ensure they remained in good health, and that no other changes were made to their systems other than to switch off the asexual budding behavior.
"I think we did it, Mikes," Gerard said over dinner one night.
"Oh, thank God,"
Ray muttered under his breath, causing Frank to snort and accidentally inhale some black beans. He spent the next 5 minutes coughing them up as Ray slapped his back in an effort to help.
"You okay, Frank?" Gerard asked, concerned.
Frank wasn't turning blue yet, but Gerard wasn't sure he remembered how to do the Heimlich maneuver. Ray probably knew how, though. Ray knew everything. Frank waved away Ray's helpful backslapping.
"Yeah,"
he croaked, reaching for his glass of water and downing most of it.
"I'm fine."
Mikey shrugged.
"So you figured out how to fix the mittens?"
"Well, it's not like they're really broken." Mikey glared. "Okay, yes, a way to fix them. We've tested it, and it hasn't done anything to the mittens except stop them from multiplying, so yes. A success, mostly due to Frank." Gerard wasn't kidding. Frank had a very different way of looking at things that had proved invaluable in their search for a way to turn off the asexual budding. The tips of Frank's ears turned red, and he shifted uncomfortably in his chair, focusing on his black beans and rice.
"Seriously, Mikey, I never would have come up with the solution on my own."
"Good."
Mikey raised an eyebrow, and Gerard felt his own cheeks heat up.
"Mikey,"
he hissed, looking worriedly at the other side of the table. Frank and Ray seemed to be having a conversation about the food and weren't paying any attention to Mikey's eyebrows.
"Whatever."
"I was just asking,"
Mikey said lightly.
"No need to raise your hackles at me."
Gerard scrunched his own eyebrows at Mikey.
"Okay, sorry, never mind, I won't ask again."
He held up both hands defensively.
"Ask what?"
"Nothing, Frank," Gerard said, scowling at Mikey. "Nothing at all."
"One of those brother things," Ray said with a smile. "They do that all the time."
"Do not,"
Mikey and Gerard said in unison. Ray and Frank just laughed at them. Gerard poked at his breakfast and looked up from the article he was reading about the creation of new classes of biologicals using fullerenes as a sort of template.
What?
He asked Mikey absently. Mikey pushed his reading glasses higher up on his face and gestured to the reports he was reading.
"Clandestine Industries is up to something."
"Again?"
Gerard shook his head.
"Now what?"
"They appear to be attempting to buy up the world's supply of iridium."
Mikey set down his coffee mug and finished off the last bite of his Pop-Tart.
"Good luck with that,"
Gerard said. "Iridium's pretty damn rare and pretty damn expensive."
"Yeah, but why would Clan Industries go to the expense of trying to corner the market? Are you using iridium for something?"
Gerard thought about it for a minute.
"Nope.
It's useful because it's non-reactive and dense and has a high tensile strength, but..."
"Oh."
He smiled. "The joke's on Pete, then."
"Oh?"
Mikey echoed archly. Gerard chuckled. "Yeah, I published a paper a couple of months ago talking about using spinnerets to spin polymer fibers. Most commercial polymer spinning uses spinnerets composed of an iridium alloy because of the reduced rate of corrosion." Mikey looked confused.
"I don't recall you working on a project like that."
"Well, I wasn't talking about using machines." Gerard knew that he shouldn't feel so superior about using biologicals in the place of mechanicals, but he couldn't help it. "I was talking about using spiders, engineering them bigger to do the spinning. A few years ago, these guys in Madagascar collected all these golden orb spiders and milked them of their silk. Then they wove it into this beautiful cloth." He mimed weaving with his hands.
"Spiders?"
"Yeah. Spider silk has some really fucking amazing properties. The problem is that milking the spiders is very labor-intensive. So making the spiders bigger would solve part of that issue, but..."
"But what?"
Gerard shook his head.
"Frank doesn't like spiders. Really doesn't like spiders. So I scrapped the project."
Mikey looked at him with a raised eyebrow, and Gerard felt himself blush.
"Shut up."
"Okay,"
Mikey said, agreeably enough. Once the mittens were under control, Gerard and Frank searched for a new project to work on. Nothing interesting immediately jumped out at them, so they spent a few weeks reorganizing and inventorying the labs. They made a list of all the consumables that needed to be replenished. Gerard always added a few things that were exorbitantly expensive, a sort of wish list of things he'd like to have for the lab.
"Maybe a quantum UV crosslinker," Gerard sighed dreamily. "A slow-mo. Maybe a small cyclotron."
"Go big or go home, G,"
a decoherence analyzer with a chaos detector. Gerard goggled at Frank. Yeah, no way Mikey'd buy us one of those. There's only 3 of the fucking things in the entire world. But it'd be nice.
Maybe someday,
Frank said. Maybe. It was baffling how easily Frank fit into their lives at Castle Way. Gerard often forgot that he hadn't known Frank forever, that there was still a lot of things they didn't know about each other. But they were learning, day by day. Ray made them all go to a football game as part of his grand scheme to keep them from turning into recluses, though Gerard argued rather vehemently that it was part of his nature as a Frankenstein to be reclusive, and part of his job description. Frank tried to explain the rules of the game to Gerard, but it made no sense to him, and after the 3rd repetition, Frank gave up. He bought Gerard a hot dog, and G happily ate it while people inexplicably cheered and booed. In retaliation, Gerard made them all go to an exhibit about bioluminescence at the Natural History Museum, which, in hindsight, was a little disturbing. They'd had no idea how many different fungi were bioluminescent. "Have you heard anything more about Dr. McCracken?" Ray asked at one point, while they were all staring at a rotten log covered with glowing mushrooms. Gerard shrugged. "They're trying to find another way to host the fungi so they can see if there's anything left of his mind. The fungi's trying to be cooperative, but nothing's worked so far." Frank just looked at them curiously, and Mikey explained about Dr. McCracken in a quiet undertone. Frank looked suitably horrified and shuddered. "Yeah," Gerard sighed. "The world's a scary place sometimes." Gerard said, "You know, I was thinking..." Frank smiled and refrained from making any kind of smart-ass comment. Gerard paused. "You're nicer to me than Mikey is." Frank nodded.
"It's part of the contract to sign with WBBE.
That startled a laugh out of Gerard. "Okay, I take that back," he grinned at Frank.
"You were thinking?"
"About something you said when you first got here." Crossing his eyes, Frank made a silly face.
"I've said a lot of things since then, G."
"About biologic outerwear." Gerard threw the words at Frank like a gauntlet.
"Okay." Frowning, Frank shook his head. "You're going to have to use some more words, G. I'm not following you yet."
"I was thinking..." Gerard stopped as something under Frank's shirt moved. He blinked, but nothing seemed out of the ordinary. Maybe it was just something about the shadows.
"G, something wrong?"
"Yeah. I was thinking, maybe we could create a fabric that was actually alive."
"Ew. How would you cut it or sew it?"
No, you wouldn't do either. You'd just train it to take on the forms you'd want. Something warm and furry and hypoallergenic. Maybe something that purred when you petted it. So it's more than something that keeps you warm. It's something that soothes you, comforts you, surrounds you."
"Smothers you,"
Frank added, sotto voce, making Gerard giggle. "You have a pretty evil brain," Gerard pointed out.
"Me? I'm not the one who tried to take over the world with cuteness."
"We all have our talents." Gerard shrugged and turned to his computer. "What should we base our wearable animal on? Can you make up a list of soft fuzzy animals?"
"Sure, no problem."
"Great," Gerard said, sketching out some possible designs. He heard Frank moving around the lab to his own workstation, but then he fell into a creative trance, unaware of the passage of time until...
"Here,"
Frank said, breath fanning against Gerard's ear and making him shiver.
"I was hungry and made myself a sandwich. Made one for you, too."
Frank's face was close, and Gerard couldn't tear his eyes away from his mouth, drawn to the glint of silver of his lip ring. He wanted to kiss Frank, wondered what it would be like to flick at the metal with his tongue. He started to lean forward, watched as Frank's eyes slid closed, and stopped himself just in time.
"G?"
He shook his head. "I'm sorry, Frank," he whispered, and left the lab before he did something he'd really regret. Gerard had never been more tempted to get drunk. He walked down into the city, found a bar, and went in. He parked himself at a table and chain-smoked, remembering the taste of whiskey, and vodka, and rum, the way it burned going down and pooled in his stomach, warming him from the inside out. It was impossible to forget how he'd felt when he'd been drinking, the way it pushed back all of his insecurities and fears, made him strong and brave, the way it made every difficult thing seem simple and possible. Gerard didn't have that luxury anymore. He'd made promises to himself and Mikey, and he had every intention of keeping them. The server came over, and he ordered an endless succession of diet sodas and coffees, until the caffeine made it impossible for him to sit still any longer. He paid his bill and headed out on foot, hoping to walk off his combination caffeine and cigarette high. After a while, he realized that the buzzing he felt wasn't the caffeine, but his phone. Mikey, Frank, and Ray had texted a total of 20 times in the last few hours. Frank, Mikey, Ray, Ray, Frank, 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 Ray, 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 Mikey, 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 Mikey. Weird. Fibonacci sequence. He deleted all of the messages without reading any of them and went into a 24-hour drugstore, just because he could. Ray and Mikey usually did all of their shopping. Gerard was always overwhelmed by the sheer number of things that he wanted to touch and examine. Tonight, he was by himself, and there was no one to stop him from smelling every cologne and perfume in the store's not-so-inconsiderable selection. He had just spritzed on something called Drakkar Noir, which Gerard supposed sounded very manly, when Ray found him.
"Gerard, you okay?"
"Mm-hmm." He sniffed at his wrist, wrinkling his nose. "Smells better in the bottle."
"Mikey's worried."
He looked at Ray, who looked concerned as well. "I know, I just needed..." Gerard didn't know how to explain it, but Ray was nodding.
"He knows. We know."
He looked around the mostly empty store.
"You're freaking out the store security. You ready to come home?"
Gerard nodded, suddenly realizing how tired he felt.
"Yeah."
He wrapped his arms around Ray's waist and leaned into him. "Thanks for coming to my rescue. Again."
"No problem, G."
Ray dropped a casual kiss on his head.
"Let's go home and take the wolves out for a walk in the hedge maze, and you can tell me what's bothering you."
"Okay." Ray had named the wolves Gary and Freki, after Odin's faithful companions. They chased each other like puppies in the maze, while Ray and Gerard sat on a stone bench in the middle of the labyrinth.
"Have you ever been in love, Ray?" G asked quietly.
Ray didn't answer right away, carefully considering Gerard's question and his answer to it. That was one of the best things about Ray, the way he didn't rush into anything.
"Yes," he said after a while. "Not always as deeply as I thought, but yes. You?"
"I thought I'd been in love a couple of times. Victoria in high school, Spencer in college, a couple of other times."
He broke off a branch from a nearby shrub and stripped the leaves off of it.
"But now?"
Gerard stared at his hands, fingers twisted together in his lap.
"I'm not so sure anymore. Frank, what I'm feeling..."
He blew his bangs out of his face.
"It's different."
"Good different or bad different?"
Ray's voice was gentle.
"I don't know."
G leaned his head on Ray's shoulder.
"I don't know what to do. I want Frank, God, I need him. And there's these feelings, but it's so intense it scares me."
"That's okay, though. You're allowed to be afraid."
"Yeah?"
"Yeah."
They sat there, silent and comfortable, until there was a loud splashing sound, accompanied by happy growling and yipping.
"Oh, hell, Gary and Freki just got into the fountain." "Bath time tomorrow," Ray said, resigned.
Laughing, Gerard stood up, pulling Ray with him.
"Thanks, Ray."
Mikey was waiting for him in the kitchen when they got inside, and the first thing he did was pull Gerard into a hard hug. He sniffed, and then pushed Gerard away, his nose wrinkling.
"You reek."
"I tried on some of the colognes at the drugstore," he admitted sheepishly.
"All of them?"
"Well, no, just many of them."
"Okay."
Mikey sneezed.
"You freaked Frank out pretty badly, G.
He thinks he did something wrong."
There was only the slightest hint of a question in Mikey's voice. "No, he didn't do anything. It was me."
Gerard started pacing.
"G."
Gerard knew that tone of voice. That was Mikey's,
"I'm being patient, but you're being ridiculous,"
voice.
"I almost kissed him."
"Okay,"
Mikey repeated calmly.
"You are allowed to kiss really hot tattooed guys that you really like."
"Maybe."
Gerard threw himself into a chair and squinted at his thumbnail before chewing on it.
"My track record is pretty abysmal for that kind of thing."
"What, kissing?"
"No, the whole..."
Gerard waved his hand around, indicating everything.
"Relationship thing."
He rocked his chair back in a way that would have had their mom yelling at him.
G, did you somehow propose to Frank?"
"What? No!"
Gerard almost fell out of the chair. He flailed his arms, bringing the chair back to the ground with a loud thump. "What the fuck, Mikey?"
Mikey rubbed at his eyes, looking tired, and Gerard felt a wave of guilt wash over him.
"So let me get this straight. You didn't kiss him, you aren't dating him, and you managed not to propose to him. What relationship thing are we talking about?"
Mikey used air quotes just to ensure that Gerard knew he was being mocked. Fuck you, Mikey.
No, I'm serious. It's one thing if you kiss him and he's a terrible kisser and you're having second thoughts. But you're having second and third thoughts about a relationship you're not even having yet. A theoretical relationship.
It sounded absurd when Mikey said it out loud. So you're saying...
I'm saying maybe you should wait until you're actually having a relationship before you start freaking out about it.
But...
No buts, G.
Okay. His voice was small. But I'm not going to have a relationship with Frank, so it's a moot point. Mikey just raised a skeptical eyebrow. I'm not.
Okay. But you should apologize to him, because he really thought he'd done something wrong.
I'll think about it. Mikey gave him a look, but G stood firm and refused to commit to an apology out of stubbornness.
Okay, then. He sighed. I'm going to bed.
He dropped a kiss on Gerard's head and sneezed.
You still reek.
I know.
Good night, G.
Night, Mikes. Love you.
Gerard really didn't want to talk to Frank about their near kiss, but he knew that Mikey was right. He owed Frank an apology at the very least. So, in a time-honored Frankenstein tradition, Gerard decided to create a gift to demonstrate the depth of his sorrow, rather than using words to talk about his feelings. He spent the rest of the night feverishly working in the lab, never happier that he'd managed to convince Mikey that the exorbitant cost of a temporal accelerator was worth it. Because it was so worth it. When Mikey stumbled into the kitchen in search of caffeine, Gerard was wide awake and jittering. On the kitchen table was Frank's apology present, a plant in a huge pot, viney and trailing up a tomato cage, with several subtly striped fruits nestled in among the bright green leaves. Gerard had found one of those, "Hello, my name is," stickers, and stuck it on the pot, with the name Audrey 3 sharpied in. Under the name were the words, "I'm sorry." He'd refrained, just barely, from doodling a carnivorous plant onto the sticker. Mikey approached the plant cautiously, which Gerard didn't think was unwarranted, given its name.
Gee?
Frank mentioned that the one thing he'd missed as a vegetarian was bacon. He said the facon was okay, but it wasn't the same.
Okay.
So I made him a tomacon plant.
A what?
A tomacon plant. Tomatoes that taste like bacon, for delicious vegetarian BLTs.
Coffee,
Mikey said, making sad little pawing gestures.
I need coffee to deal with tomacon plants.
Gerard took pity on him and got him a mug, letting him take a couple of sips before pointing to the plate of sliced tomacon on the table. Taste it. Mikey grimaced at him.
Can you let me finish this first?
He asked, holding up the mug. Nodding, Gerard tried to stop his foot from tapping out a fast beat, but that just made his fingers try to rap out a syncopated rhythm on the table. Maybe he shouldn't have drunk that last pot of coffee.
Did you sleep at all last night?
Mikey asked, dragging the plate closer. He poked at the tomacon slices, cutting one in half before popping it into his mouth. Gerard watched, anxious, as Mikey chewed thoughtfully.
Well?
Mikey held up a finger and ate the other half of the slice.
It's amazing, G. Really does taste just like bacon. Did you use pig genes?
I thought about it, he confessed, pushing back his bangs. It would have been easier. But I figured that wouldn't count as vegetarian if the plant was part pig.
Probably not, Mikey agreed. So how did you do it?
Gerard shrugged. The flavor of bacon isn't hard to synthesize. Just had to get the texture right, so I spliced a combination of eggplant and breadfruit genes into the tomato and tinkered to get the flavor to come out right. It was always weird when Mikey looked at him like he was brilliant or something.
I'm sure Frank will love it,
Mikey said blandly. You think so?
Yeah.
Good. Gerard fidgeted for a moment before touching the plant, stroking his finger across a leaf. I think I'm about to crash, he said faintly. He was starting to feel lightheaded and disconnected.
You didn't sleep, did you?
Gerard could hear the resignation in Mikey's voice. No, I started working on Frank's present, and once I started, I didn't want to stop. Mikey nodded.
Go get some sleep. And shower. You still reek.
Oh. He'd forgotten about that. Yeah, sorry.
Good night, G,
Mikey said with a smile. It was amazing how much better life was after 8 solid hours of sleep and a shower. Gerard went down into the lab, and before he could do anything, Frank jumped on his back with an excited yell.
Oh my god, G, it's fucking awesome! A tomacon plant! I can't believe you made it for me!
Frank's arms were choking him, so Gerard got his hands under Frank's legs and hitched him up higher on his back so he could breathe again.
Good, yeah?
Yeah!
Frank wiggled, and Gerard struggled to keep his balance. He staggered over to the couch and dumped Frank onto it, watching him bounce.
No one's ever made me a plant before.
He giggled and looked at Gerard, a huge smile on his face. Gerard caught his breath at how open Frank was, every thought and emotion so clearly written on his face.
Gee?
Frank's smile disappeared like the sun behind a cloud.
What's wrong?
He shook his head, forcing himself to smile at Frank. Nothing, I was just thinking. Frank shook his head, disbelief written clear on his face.
Don't lie to me. I don't like being lied to.
No, Frank, no. Gerard gestured. I'm not lying to you. Nothing's wrong. You just surprise me sometimes with... Frank frowned.
It's too much, isn't it?
He looked at his hands, lacing his fingers together.
I try, but I'm always too much.
No. Frank looked at him in surprise.
No?
No, not too much. Never too much. Just surprising and unexpected and joyful. Frank blushed and slanted a glance up at Gerard.
Yeah?
Yeah, Frankie, Gerard said, smiling. There was so much more he could say, but he wasn't ready to go there, wasn't ready to face what he was feeling, so he settled for, I like you just the way you are.
I like you too, G.
Frank was turning out to be exactly what Gerard needed. Somehow, even though they hadn't known each other for very long, Frank had an instinctive understanding of how to handle Gerard, to keep him on track and going in the right direction. He was an unerring judge of Gerard's moods, and had the uncanny ability of plying Gerard with coffee at just the right time. Even better, in Gerard's mind, was the fact that Frank had integrated himself smoothly into their little family. They ate dinner and watched movies together. Frank played video games with Ray and went to the movies with Mikey. He let Gerard sit in on his guitar practices in the empty lab, and Gerard was spellbound as Frank thrashed around the room, pouring his heart into the sounds he pulled out of his guitar. Some days, Ray would join in, headbanging his way through the jam session, grinning through his sweaty hair at Frank, whose smile was as big as the moon and twice as bright. It made something in Gerard's stomach flutter uncomfortably, but Gerard still wasn't ready to deal with his feelings yet, so he just kept them to himself. He only thought about it when he was exhausted and his willpower was ebbing low, and he couldn't stop his hand from sliding into his underwear and wrapping around his hard cock. The guild finally gave in to the pressure and elevated Dr. Simmons to full Frankenstein, and the next day Mikey called her and asked her on a date. They went out to dinner, and Mikey staggered home 2 days later, a little worse for wear, clothes torn, bite marks visible on his neck.
"Fucking hell,"
Frank murmured, watching Mikey wince as Ray helped him take off his jacket.
"You get into a fight?"
"No," Gerard said, nudging at Frank. "He got laid."
"No shit?"
Frank looked absolutely delighted.
"Yeah, Dr. Simmons,"
Ray said. Mikey flipped Ray off.
Frank asked, "Dr. Alicia Simmons?"
His eyes grew wide.
"I saw an article about her in EOG. She's fucking hot."
He looked speculatively at Mikey.
"And fucking scary."
"You have no idea," Mikey said. Gerard just laughed. They focused on the wearable biologics project. "Peddable clothes, Frank." Frank compiled a long list of soft and fuzzy animals, and then they spent weeks petting the various critters and ranking them in order of softness and fuzziness. It took some doing, because some of the animals were rather exotic and not easily petted. Some were dangerous to touch. Gerard was actually surprised at how many animals were deceptively furred. Polar bear fur looked fluffy, but was actually coarse and rough, as was lion fur. Wolf and fox were softer than expected. Koalas were fluffy, panda bears were mostly dirty. Tigers, clouded leopards, and chinchillas had silky and cool fur that Gerard loved. He couldn't keep his fingers from touching. Frank's taste ran more toward furry and warm, like baby harp seals and red pandas. Frank loved animals, and Gerard couldn't believe how much Frank smiled as they went to zoos and animal preserves and wildlife refuges. It made Gerard happy to see Frank so happy. He didn't let himself think about the implications of that too closely. They made up lists of their favorites and spent days discussing the pros and cons of each animal, both subtly lobbying for the ones they liked best. A few animals required revisiting, mainly because Gerard really loved seeing the wonder and joy on Frank's face when he petted the tigers.
"Why does it have to be only one type of animal, G? Couldn't we try a mix of animals?" Frank, you motherfucker, that's brilliant! Gerard could have kissed him, but didn't. Just barely. In the end, for their first test run, they decided on a blend of chinchilla, tiger, and red panda.
There's something ironic about that, Frank said with a giggle.
Maybe. Nature might be red in tooth and claw, but modern science will change that. Gerard made claws with his fingers and growled.
You're mangling Tennyson, he said mildly. That's not quite what he meant.
He sighed.
Poor tiger, getting turned into a blanket.
Gerard pursed his lips. Better this way than the old-fashioned way of hunting them.
True, Frank agreed. Are we going to make him purr?
Of course. It's part of the appeal of cats, yeah?
Or?
There was a dangerous glint in Frank's eye.
Maybe we could make him trill.
Gasping, Gerard stared at Frank. Oh my fucking god, Frank! Frank, you're a Trekkie too?
Frank just examined his fingernails. Maybe.
Gerard grabbed his elbow. We've got to watch that episode and take notes. See if we can replicate the sound.